Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Train spotting. Always makes me think of train spotting. Hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. Derby, Bupkis.
Bupkis for me too, Carm. Bupkis for me.
I don't like giving Jesse Rogers too much credit.
Third and fourth, you know, big deal. Country house and essential quality. The third favorite and the first favorite. The long shots I put in there, Sainthood, perfect position. Coming out, got out clean, was up there against the rail. Why he decided to drop back about four, five, six lengths off and then just started getting himself into the muck. If you sit and you run with the leaders, you feel like a leader. You're there. You're on the rail. Run third or fourth and follow those guys. And then if you get a chance to go ahead and attack, then attack. Why she's dropping back for any, or he, either way, it's crazy. It's dumb. It was stupid. And at that point, it was over. Didn't make a difference. I was with Eddie on Known Agenda.
Yeah. Well,
and it didn't make a difference. The one doesn't fire
either.
I was pissed.
Jesse Rogers hit it, though. He texted me an hour before the race. What's Jim Miller sell? I got to ask him what I'm missing about the eight, Baffert and Velasquez. Odds should be lower. I said, here it is. Have at it, Jess. I don't know what you're missing. I don't know enough about it. Jesse had it. Jesse had the winner.
Go have yourself a party.
You know, Jesse should be buying us lunch. I don't know why. Just because why not buy us lunch, Jess?
Got to cover up all the losers. Are you kidding me?
So
that covers up all the losers. That's all that does.
And a lot of losers.
He's still digging himself out of a hole.
So I'm reading this great SI article by Albert Breer, and he'll be on the station tomorrow. He always is, 8 o'clock with Cap and Hoodie. You know, Cap was reading a few quotes from his article earlier about the relationship between Matt Nagy and Ryan Day. It goes all the way back to their college days when they competed against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they've kept a bond and a friendship. And so after Fields' first year, so that'd be his sophomore season at Ohio State, you know, he's talking to Ryan Day about a bunch of guys. We're talking about, you know, Ohio, like you said, Ohio State's always got good prospects. Nagy's talking to him. And, okay, yeah, this guy, and who else? And he said, I'm telling you, Justin Fields. And Nagy said, really? You know, what is it? And he goes, generational talent. Wow, why do you say that, Ryan? The speed, the arm, the kid's makeup, like all of it. So, kind of like what they did in Kansas City when after his sophomore year, they started falling in love with Patrick Mahomes, they really started doing their work on him. And Nagy started watching him more closely. You got to read this article. I mean, it's a really in-depth article that documents why Nagy kind of like set his sights on Fields and what he started to learn about him. He talks about how upset he was when the Big Ten canceled its season last summer because Nagy was hoping to see more game film of Fields, how happy he was when they decided to play. I'll read you just a little bit. Because it talks about, you know, Nagy kind of goes into it with Albert about, you know, we knew we were picking 20 and it was probably, they thought Fields would be a top five pick.
Right.
You know, they kind of knew, all right, we're in a bad spot here. We made the playoffs. I don't know if that's the bad spot, but just the way they fizzled out and the kind of season they had, they're picking 20.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided anyway, he and Ryan Pace, he talks in the article about getting together, still wanting to do as much work as they could on all these quarterbacks just in case. Okay. And they really liked Fields. And Matt Nagy, I'll read you this little bit here. The game tape has clues on Fields' aptitude. One thing Nagy likes to do when studying quarterbacks is to tag, in his words, special player, where it's just different. It's rare, quote unquote. In studying Fields, he found himself continuously tagging the tape. There's one play that stood out above the others. One he refers to as play 57, given that it was the 57th offensive snap of Ohio State's Sugar Bowl route of Clemson. There were 5 minutes and 4 seconds left in the third quarter. The Buckeyes were up 35-21. It was second and 10, and yes, the play ended in a 56-yard touchdown to Chris Olave. But for Nagy, everything else that led to that throw is what's important. Quote, it's just quarterbacking 101, Nagy said. It was pure progression where they took away front side in time and on rhythm with a guy in his face because these pockets in the NFL are never clean. There are too many good rushers. He started to his right after his first step and a half, noticed it was taken away and it wasn't there. So he came back in the middle of the field and then right from the middle of the field to the deep post route on time with the guy in his face. He kind of slid left and hosed a post route over the top for a 60-yard throw for a touchdown. You see those over and over. And that was special because it was a big-time play in a big-time moment. And it was really just a beautiful throw, great footwork, great eyes. Things weren't perfect, and he made the play in stride. Like, that's one thing that...
Play 57.
Let's remember that. Let's always remember play 57 if it turns out to be great. And, like, Albert Breer writes about it. For Nagy more than Pace, this is about can you save your job? Like, you have a second crack at this now. Can you develop him? Make the most out
of
this.
Well, he inherited a quarterback when he got into Trubisky.
But you still feel like the clock is ticking more on Nagy than it is on
Pace. The question that needs to be asked to Nagy is how quick did you know that he didn't have it?
Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah.
I think he knew pretty quick.
Well, that's my point. Nagy, how quick did you know? I mean, when he had to simplify everything, that's when he was scratching his head going, oh, sweet heavens.
Yeah.
And when there were plays to be made and they weren't made, that's when you also know we can't keep doing this thing. So good. Gone. Trubisky gone. The stench of Trubisky never to be smelled again. Now you've got Justin Fields, and hopefully Justin Fields can get it done.
When do you think he'll start? 312-332-3776. That's the number. This is Bryce and Kerry on ESPN 1000. We'll take a few other calls about some other subjects. Bryce, what's going on?
I was just seeing if you guys saw on Pat McAfee's show with Mark Sanchez, they were talking about Dr. Goldman's sports science research. They did. He's done a study on 6,500 high-end draft picks since 2012, and it's basically a test to see how well you comprehend and pick things up. And Justin Fields scored a 130, which is currently the highest amongst all NFL players, and two of the highest right now scores currently in the NFL are Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes at 108.
Wow.
Ooh. And he scored a 130. So
I did not see that.
I know your guys' thoughts on that.
I did not see it. I'd love to learn a little bit more about it. It sounds good to me, though, Bryce, when you're talking about these types of sort of aptitude tests, I guess, that can try to accurately gauge, like, how a person or a player can process information, like, get rid of the stuff that they don't need, focus on the stuff that they do. Yurko always says that that's the key to the Wonderlic. You know, it's structured in such a way that they want you to feel the pressure.
Right.
You've got to get through all those questions.
50 questions in 12 minutes.
Right, and it's fast. We've done it. Right. We've done, like, the sample. I mean, it's hard. It's fast.
The questions vary in difficulty. They start easy, and as you go along, they become more complicated. And what they do is they flood you with information. You have to choose what's important, what's not important, what belongs, what doesn't belong. Throw out what doesn't belong. Process what does belong. Give an answer. Move on. That's the process. Football intelligence isn't, I know the capitals of 50 states.
Right. Yeah.
That has nothing to do with football intelligence.
Yeah.
Football intelligence has to do with being able to process a ton of information, go out there at the snap, be able to comprehend things in 5 seconds, okay, go back, and then continue to read and continue to process, then make the right decisions. That ultimately is football intelligence. Tougher on quarterbacks. It's tough on wide receivers.
Yeah.
Offensive line, it's about communication up front to all be on the same page. I mean, that's what it's about. A defensive line, it's about all your pre-snap reads and then being able to kind of eliminate stuff when you see motions and stuff like that, which would dictate whether it could be run pass or whether it takes away screens and draws and stuff like that. All that's got to be processed instantaneously as it's happening.
That's happening fast. I mean, just listening to you talk about it makes my head spin because I haven't been trained in that field. You know, I mean, like, that'll, you know, like, just listening to you describe it goes, God, that's a lot to process.
Right.
Now imagine doing it in real time.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, finding the guys that can do that. I mean, that matters.
And listen, some guys can't do it. So you got to simplify things for them. That's just the way it is. Mm. Some guys on our team couldn't handle all that information. All right, we're just going to get you in the spot that you belong and be a football player.
Right.
That's it.
Very simplified.
And that's all right. Guys could do it, and guys were very successful doing it that way.
I read in Brad Biggs this morning in the Tribune, Brad wrote this, the Bears draft class numbered 7 when all was said and done, with Fields and offensive lineman Tevin Jenkins the only two to come in the top 150 picks. Really, the whole thing, not just this class, hinges on Fields. His development holds the key to the futures of general manager Ryan Pace and head coach Matt Nagy and will determine if the Bears can break through to the NFL's haves class, as in teams that have franchise quarterbacks. Can they finally be a have? He would go on to write, a legitimate quarterback would do so much for the Bears. He would be what Nagy refers to as a multiplier on offense, a guy who raises the level of play of those around him. He would take the pressure off of the defense, something that has happened rarely in the last 25 seasons. More often than not, it has been the other way around, the Bears quarterback applying pressure to his defense. How else do you account for the fact that the Bears have finished in the top half of the league in scoring only six times in the last quarter century? Are we finally entering the halves? The halves, we have him phase of our Bears fandom.
We'll find that out.
It feels good, but we'll find out.
Pound that next year, 2 years, find out. You'll know for sure.
We're still a ways away from knowing for sure, Yurko. Let's say hi to Rod in Lockport. What's up, Rod?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I just want to congratulate Yurko on his 20-year career at WMVP.
20.
I appreciate it, Rod. Thank you. 20 years ago today, the afternoon saloon.
That's right.
Hit the ground running.
The radio hasn't been the same since.
Thank you, Rod. I don't know if that's a compliment or not. Rod, thanks, man. Yeah. Yes, Yurko, I wanted to make sure we brought it up. 20 great years.
And we were at the Cock when we started this thing out, the John Hancock building.
You are correct, my friend.
We had fun. We had the opening interview, only Ted Cox showed up.
Is that right?
He's the only guy from the Daily Herald.
The Daily Herald.
He showed up, he asked some questions, then we went about the business. And if you listened to us for the first year and you stuck with us, thank you. Because we were awful.
Turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah, but we were awful that first year trying to find a rhythm. The rhythm wasn't going to get us.
That happens.
Yeah, we were trying to find the rhythm. And then ultimately we hit our stride and we were fine.
Yeah.
And then we had some success. So it was a good time. Good times, kid.
Yurk and I are going on what? Let's see. Are we 12 years now together?
January 2009.
Wow.
That's when you and I started.
But we've worked here together for so long.
With Tynowitz, though. With Harry.
With Harry, of course. Yeah.
And then a couple years later, we lost Harry. Yeah. And then, boom. Well,
he's alive. He's just not here.
He's still around.
No, he's alive. He's around. Yeah.
He's just not with us in the studio anymore.
Yes, not with us in the studio.
No, I mean, I've known Yurk for a long time. Sylvie and I always like telling the story about the first time we ever did meet Yurko. It was before he officially even started.
2000.
Like in 2000.
Yeah, it was like in
Christmas.
November, December 2000.
Yeah, it was the holidays. Bears were playing a Monday night game, and Yurko was coming in to, like, you know, they were bringing him in. They were testing him out. Let's see how this guy is on the air. And he was coming in to do, like, pre and post with us on a Bears Monday night game. And I remember he bought Cheesecake Factory for the entire crew. He gave us his credit card. He said, Cheesecake Factory on me. Get whatever you want. I think he ordered like two dinners, but he said, get whatever you want.
No. I ordered something for myself. I was fine. But, you know, I just met these guys. You know?
He bought us all dinner. We're like,
he's a college kid that just graduated. Sylvie's an insufferable bastard from Southern Illinois. So I'm figuring, you know what, might as well say hello in a good way and get him a little something.
Derek, let me ask you a serious question here. Which career, I don't want to say you're more proud of, but which career do you feel like has been more successful, your NFL career or now your post-NFL life?
No, as my NFL career would be the most successful.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, because, you know, you've done easily great things in broadcasting.
Well, yeah, you ain't got to tell me that. I know that, brother. Nobody's a bigger fan of me than me. I'll be the first guy to tell you how great I am.
I mean, your run here is pretty good, really.
Yeah,
you think football was
better?
Listen. Not what you liked more.
No, it's got nothing to do with liking or not liking. I was a starter in the NFL for 8 years.
You've been on hit radio shows.
I starred in the NFL for 8 years.
That's true.
I mean, that's legitimate.
It happened again this weekend. Like, somebody from Wisconsin who...
They love me.
Who doesn't really, you know, who listens to radio up there, you know, didn't even realize, which I don't get. How can you live here, love the Packers, love Yurko, and not know he's on the radio here? But happened again. Talking to a guy from Wisconsin, loves the Packers. What do you do? Oh, that's interesting. I do my show with a former Packer. Oh, really? Who? Remember John Yurkovich? Yurko? What? You were? I mean, it's like, yes, he's on the air here. 20 years he's on the air here. Why are you not listening? They all love Yurko. They're all stunned. They're like, what? You know Yurko? They love you.
And then they tell you a story.
Yes, they all do. They all have a story.
And like the stories that you hear, like 10% of it's true. Because people tell me stories about me. I go, wait a minute. That was me? I wasn't even there.
That didn't happen to me.
I wasn't even there. What do you mean I was at this lake in the summer? I've never been there.
It's like a game of telephone.
Yeah.
Yurko's the best.
It might have been. I always say it's other guys. Ron Hallstrom. Blame him. Rich Moran. Jimmy Campen. All those guys. It wasn't me.
Merck, you want to tell your story coming up next?
Sure, we can do that. Yeah, that's fine.
All right, 312-332-ESPN if you want to chime in about the draft, anything else from the weekend. Maybe we'll sprinkle in some baseball here. The White Sox have another bad injury now. Hopefully it's not too serious, but Roberts on the IL. Amir Garrett's a little loony, isn't he, Merck? Amir Garrett, he's a little loony.
A little? Yeah.
There's something.
I don't think his teammates even like him.
His 20-year anniversary, no cake? What the hell's going on?
Yeah, we got plenty planned for you this week.
No
cake?
We're
going to do that on the fly after the show, but no cake. We'll be right back.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. This is breaking news, powered by PointsBet Sportsbook on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Breaking NFL news from Ian Rappaport, and man, I always double and triple check. I look for that blue check mark, and I make sure because that. That rap, what do they call it? Not a burner account, but like a dummy account or whatever. Yeah. You don't want to be burned by that guy. But this is from Ian Rappaport. The Bears will be releasing Charles Leno, sources said. Their starter the last seven seasons. A surprise move. Chicago drafted OK State's Tevin Jenkins in the second round and plans to play him on the left side.
Wonderful.
So they think he's a left tackle. Charles Leno is gone.
The human turnstile is gone. Wonderful.
Listen, you know, Charles Leno was a seventh-round pick and gave the Bears a couple of decent years.
Yes,
but
he was.
Last year?
They also gave him a pretty big contract.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They paid him like he is one of your, I wouldn't say top guys. The top tackles make a little bit more than he was making, but they definitely paid him like he was some sort of stud.
I would say somewhere towards the back of the top 10, right? Wasn't he making somewhere right around like top 10 money, I think?
It's finally a recognition of what he was doing, you know?
Yeah.
You and I saw it, jumping off sides, whether it was a legal procedure, hugging guys 10 yards at a time.
Last 2 years seemed to be bad for Charles Leonard, didn't they? Right.
I think 2018 was his coming out party. You know, where he had a season. Everybody had a season. Everybody felt great about themselves.
Good point.
Right? So everybody started getting paid. And it wasn't good enough at the left tackle position. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. It just wasn't good enough.
I think you're right.
Now you got a young man in. You're going to put him in there. Hopefully it's going to be better.
We have been talking for the last couple of weeks about our golf outing. That was, you know, we're going to do a little bit different this year. It's coming back. It's going to be next month at Seven Bridges. It's brought to you by Coors Pure. It's the inaugural Grip It and Sip It Classic Chicago Golf Outing to benefit Alive Rescue of Chicago. Monday, June 7th. Tickets went on sale this morning, and the spots for the outing sold out in 10 minutes. There is a waiting list building. So if you go on the website, and if, you know, twosomes, foursomes have to drop out, people can't make it. You know, you could get your opportunity.
Like Packers season tickets.
Like Packers season tickets.
There's a waiting list.
There is a wait list. So you can still go to gripitandsipitclassic.com. That's gripitandsipitclassic.com if you want to get on the wait list. But it did sell out, which is great. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's all presented by Coors Pure. And it's brought to you in part by Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura Dealers, Alta Equipment, Hawthorne Racecourse, and the PointsBet Sportsbook. I was at the new one in Prospect Heights on Friday. We had a great time. And also American Sale. So thanks to everybody who, you know, can't wait to get out there and tee it up with us. It's going to be fun.
That's right. We're going to hammer that golf ball.
Yeah.
Seven Bridges, nice little track, too.
I love Seven Bridges.
I don't get discouraged about losing balls in the water.
Well, you know, 10, 11, and 12, it's a gauntlet. I mean, it just is.
I won't lie to you. It is a gauntlet,
You kind of have to have the mindset of
12th green is a little bit of a tough green, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I say keep it left on 12.
All the way down and then cross the water, you mean?
No, I thought that was 11. Does it go par 5, par 5,
It goes 5, 4, 5.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Then it's 13 I'm talking about.
That's the par 3.
Then it's 14 I'm talking about.
Yes. I know what you're talking about.
I like to stay left on 14, Carm.
It's a great course.
How many times have you played Seven Bridges? 1,000 times?
I'm going to honestly say I have probably played Seven Bridges. Look, I grew up down the street.
I know.
Probably 100 times over the years. We used to go out on that course and heckle Michael Jordan, I want to say right when the course opened. It was very young. Jordan, for a couple of years, did his celebrity outing there. And, I mean, Jordan would get, back then, early 90s, everybody. Dan Marino.
Right.
Your former teammate. And Charles Barkley. And Mario Lemieux. And Wayne I mean, all of them.
Everybody.
I mean,
it was
everybody.
Out.
Everybody. Right. We'd go out and
Ronan
we
would, could be out there.
All of them.
Yeah.
And we would, Chelly. You know, we'd heckle Dan Marino. We'd drop Ace Ventura lines to him. And we'd give Barkley crap, of course. you know, because we were.
I had no idea that was Seven Bridges hosted.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. So I know that course, yeah, like the back of my hand. It's a great place, and we will all be out there.
And we'll have fun there.
And we're going to have a lot of fun.
Just so you know, I almost had a hole-in-one at Seven Bridges.
Yeah, I know.
I've had two, but I almost had another
one. Well, congratulations on your almost hole-in-one.
Big deal. For a guy that's hit two, you shouldn't be bragging about an almost
hole-in-one.
I know,
but it went in the hole and out, okay? So that's pretty close.
I need to brag about almost holes-in-one because I don't have a hole-in-one. You've got two. Nobody wants to hear about your almost.
I have one.
I know you do.
I understand.
I'm the big loser here. No holes-in-one.
A hole-in-one's like breaking your maiden, you know? It's kind of nice, you know, when it happens, you know, you get to walk around like a different person.
Yeah, yeah.
When I got my hole-in-one, it was like, woo, I'm in the club.
I can't wait.
You're not in the club, are you?
I'm not.
Oh, what a loser.
I'm not in the club, man. It's a bummer. All right, Merck, so tell us about the Thursday. That's the day we recorded the the podcast with Waddle and Sylvie.
Oh, an award winner.
So after it was done, I like to go around the city and find interesting, like, bakeries and place where I can buy cookies, okay?
Right. Yeah. You love cookies.
And there's a place when I used to come down with Beth, when I would drive around when she'd get her haircut on the weekends. I used to walk around the city. There's Italian Deli Bakery right by Jake Melnick's that is unbelievable. I'm drawing the blank on
the name. La Petito?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so
Good place.
So maybe once when it's before the pandemic, once a week I'd walk over there and buy, like, three or four chocolate chip cookies. And they have these great cherry amaretto cookies are just, I mean, to die for.
Yes.
So
unbelievable.
So I've been starting to go back there. Now I drive by after work sometimes to pick some up. So it was Thursday after you guys got done. I helped you guys tape the podcast. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go over there and buy some cookies. So I don't know. It was right by the Sofitel Hotel. Okay,
right. That's right by Old Ditka's.
Right. I'm taking a right to get on the street where the bakery is. And I'm watching the people who are crossing the street the other way because they, you know, even though I have a green, they still are allowed to cross.
They have the right
cross.
Of way.
Right, they have the right of way.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, some Nimrod comes jogging almost across the street. And I'm turning right. I have the right of way. He doesn't. And he stopped and kind of gives like, whoa, hey, sorry, my bad.
I did that too.
And I'm ready to honk the horn. I look up. It's Carmen.
Why didn't you honk and say, what are you doing?
I did honk, and then I yelled your name, and I flicked you off. And you were so focused on your run.
Well, I have earphones in. I know. I can't
And you just
kept
going, and I was contemplating turning left and following you and then saying something. But, I mean, if you go any further, I hit you. I mean, there's no question.
I don't even recall
You
this.
Stopped. You stopped, and you kind of pulled back for a
did
second.
I
came so close to hitting. I mean, what are the odds?
How did I not know it was you?
I don't know, because I yelled your name, and I flicked you off, and nothing. You just kept going out with your run, and
good thing
I went and got my cookies.
Over.
That's the danger with running with those earbuds, though.
I know. They tell you that you should lower the volume. Do you know on the iPhones now, on the new ones, and it actually drives me crazy, but they tell you to lower, like every week it'll give you a warning to lower the decibel level. They're saying you're listening too loud.
Yeah.
That not only is it potentially dangerous because you could be distracted, like that scenario, but it's not good for your eardrums.
They also cover themselves legally that way.
Yeah, you're probably
right. You
know,
right. So they're telling you you're listening to a lot. We warned you.
Yeah.
We've warned you. It came up on your phone 7,065 times that you were listening too loudly, so you can't sue us.
You're probably right about that, yeah.
Trying to limit their liability.
My ears, I listen to, like, my headphones are loud. Like, even in the studio now, I crank it up. Like,
you do crank it
I
up.
I like to have loud headphones.
I like these Sony monitors.
Yeah.
It encompasses the whole ear. It keeps the outside noise out.
That's true.
That's more important than what's coming in. Yeah. It's keeping everything else out.
That's a good point.
So you almost killed Carmen.
Well, Merck, thanks for...
Well, let me tell you something, champ. There's nothing good for almost, okay?
I mean, no, if Carmen's gone, it's the Yurko show, right?
I mean
that's
well,
it.
Oh, my heavens. The ascension to the top would be just so lonely. I'm joking.
He's brilliant. I don't know how you come up with these so quick. You have a very quick wit, Yurko.
It's because I'm an evil person.
You really do.
I'm an evil person, Carm, underneath it all. I'm just a bad person.
Jackson's in Arlington Heights at ESPN 1000. What's up, Jackson?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Love the show.
Great. Thank you.
I wanted to ask, what grade you guys give the Bears draft, whether it be A, B, C, or whatever?
Oh. I think it's a little silly to do it now, but I would give them a solid B, with the proof in the pudding being them guys going about their business of becoming NFL players.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a B, which can turn into an A-plus here if both of them hit and become 10-year guys.
I guess I kind of agree with what Yurko's thinking there, Jax. I mean, it is hard. I even ranted on Thursday a little bit before the draft started. I'm like, it's so silly, you know, the hype, and we let's give out grades. grades when you really don't know. I mean, the people making these draft picks in the NFL, they feel good about it. They don't know. The miss rate is so high.
The positive feelings the city has, though, is an A+.
A+. And the move that he made on Thursday is so much different than going up one spot to grab Mitchell Trubisky, who played 13 games at North Carolina. The difference between the two,
night and day.
It's night and day. Because, you know, that's the other thing. A few people are like, well, but we ripped him last time he moved up. No, this is so much different.
He let the draft come to him. Then he took advantage of what was happening. There's a little bit of a difference. Best thing I saw this weekend was everybody taking their Trubisky jerseys and changing them to Fields.
Yeah.
Erasing the zero and leaving the
That's
one.
All you need, baby.
Yeah, so it was kind of nice to see that happen.
Numero uno. And Justin Fields was on the station with Waddle and Sylvie Friday. If you missed it, download the ESPN Chicago app. Make sure you have that so you can catch up. We'll be right back.
Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yurko was just reading the Derby numbers. The viewership was good for the Derby.
Average 15 million viewers.
That's great. Now, I think NBC had, including our great friend Eddie Olczyk, I think they were like 12 experts or analysts that picked a horse, Yurk, right?
Yeah.
They had 12.
Only one took Medina Spirit.
One, and it was Kornacki. It was like the analytics guy.
I tell you, I have dreamed my whole life of getting the long shot winner in the Kentucky Derby, and I thought I had the pick this week. It was going to be King Fury, and then he got scratched. So who am I going to go with? I scoured the board. I have 11 different theories, but here's one. Bob Baffert. Six-time Kentucky Derby winner has a horse that can get at or near the front of this race and is double-digit odds, 12-1. I can't have my King Fury. I'll take a shot on Baffert at 12-1, Medina Spirit.
The only one. I told you Jesse Rogers also had it. He texted me about an hour before the race. And a lot of people are going around saying, oh, it's Baffert of Velasquez. What were we thinking? Even Baffert didn't think the horse had a shot.
Right.
I mean, you know, like, sometimes it's
Soup
crazy.
And a Sandwich did.
Oh, Soup and a Sandwich.
Came out with the leaders, and then all of a sudden, at one point, she just started backing up through the field.
Yeah, started going backwards.
Yeah, fast. I don't know if they threw a shoe, lost its bit. Something had to happen. It was running, and all of a sudden, it was stopping.
And the horse I picked and handicapped all week finished third to last. I mean, geez, Rock Your World. Come on, you're better than that.
And I was with you on Rock Your World. She was in my wagering.
I know. So I didn't win anything.
I had the 15, the 14, the 12, the 5, the 1. And I threw the 8 in on a play somewhere, but it wasn't enough. I didn't
have the
ass end of it. So.
The exacta, the $2 exacta paid $500. You had two, you know, double-digit horses that were first and second.
8-7. Mandolin.
The try, the $1 try paid $1,610. Ugh. Would have been nice to have one of those, but it is what it is. Back at it for the Preakness, Yurko.
What'd the super pay?
I can't even imagine. Yeah. I can look real quick. I don't know. I just saw the exact.
We'll get it later. Yeah. We'll get it later.
Had to be a lot.
Let's go to the phones, Kurt.
Yes, let's go back out to the phones. Everybody talking draft. The Bears were the talk of the town, and they normally are, but recently it's more been negative stuff. Talk of the town all weekend. The Bears finally did it right. What do you know? Can you believe it? And it's all we were talking about really in the bullpen before the show again today, getting ready for the show in the IDOT bullpen. Distracted driving really is one of the leading causes of crashes. With 1,000 Illinois crash fatalities annually, responsible driving is a matter of life or death. So be safe out there and learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com. Pay attention. A good thing Randy was paying attention and didn't run me over when I was running because I wasn't paying attention. Let's say hi to Randy in Seattle's been waiting for a little while. What up, Randy?
Boys, really glad Merkin didn't take you out, Carmen. The show wouldn't be quite the same.
Thank you, Randy.
So, first thing I want to say is absolutely love the Crosstalk podcast you guys did. So glad you guys are going to do it every week.
Yes.
Really missed it from the schedule change from before. So, I thought it was terrific. Your opening line was the best. We won't say it because we can't. And, Yurko, you just make me laugh constantly.
Thank you.
It's great.
I usually do that to the ladies when I'm naked. They can't stop laughing.
Thanks, Randy.
One thing I'm going to say about the Bears and drafting Justin Fields, going to make it quick, boys. I'm excited about Justin Fields in a way that not only do I am I looking forward to the Bears season coming up, which I really wasn't, but I think this is enough that it's going to get me through the summer of being a fan of that crap bucket team, the Cubs.
No, well, there you go.
transitioning over.
This will carry you through, well, Randy.
We used
Thanks,
to say
buddy.
Baseball used to take us through to training camp,
yeah,
right? Always ask, build a bridge.
Build a bridge.
Build a bridge.
You know, some fireworks in that Cubs-Reds series. Amir Garrett, I don't know what his deal with Anthony Rizzo is. Amir Garrett, he's good, and he's intense, but, boy, he seems a little loony sometimes.
A little salty?
Yeah. And so Javi didn't like that he was showing up Rizzo. Rizzo, you got to commend Anthony Rizzo. Like, struck out, put his head down, walked to the dugout. With a guy taunting him. I mean, with a guy in his, not in his face, but a guy that,
60 feet away.
Yeah,
letting him know that I struck you out. Yeah.
And Rizzo saw him, and he's still good for Rizzo. Like, okay, he got me this time.
Well, congrats. Well, very excited. It makes you want to focus next time you see
him. Well, yeah, no kidding. And then I'll be fine if Anthony Rizzo decides, if he gets one off of Amir Garrett, I'm going to make sure you know it now, my friend.
That's
and Amir
right.
Garrett can't say bupkis.
Nothing.
You
don't,
know,
go
but,
hit, don't go hitting the next player either.
Yeah. So Cubs had a good rally yesterday. They scored 12. Go figure. And they still lost. They still come up short.
Castellanos.
Good boy. Castellanos, man.
Five
all he does
yesterday.
Is he keeps hitting.
Yeah.
Right?
Against the Cubs, too, especially.
Against everybody. By the way, you know who's fourth in the National League?
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
You know who's fourth in wins above replacement in the National League right now?
I do.
Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant.
I mean, Bryant's been great.
Be able to maximize the value on him. Or do you sign him? Do you maximize the value or do you sign him?
Sylvie keeps pushing.
If you sign him, you're not rebuilding anything.
No. I kind of agree with that. Sylvie keeps pushing. I don't know how much he's done it on the air. He does it. Like I think it's partly tweaking in a way, but it's also like, you guys, he says it to the Sox fans on our text chain. You guys want a left fielder? Yours is gone. Now Robert's hurt. Now I don't think it's anything too serious. The X-rays were negative, but still,
you don't want him on the South Side, Carm.
He keeps.
Why
like,
do you want a World Series in the South Side? For what?
What do you mean? Why do I want a World?
Why
Series?
Do you want a World Series in the? If you guys got Brian, it would guarantee your World Series. Why do you want one?
I want one badly. I want to win another World
so
Series.
Do you want Brian?
Like, it's interesting for a rental.
It's intriguing.
Do you rent him for a year?
You would be renting
you
him
would
for
be.
A year.
No, York,
you don't plan on paying him.
I don't think so. I don't think they would.
If the Cubs trade him and the White Sox lose him via free agency, would they get the compensatory pick?
That's a
How
good
does that
question.
Work?
I think they would. That's a better question for Jesse.
We'll ask Jesse.
But I think, doesn't the trading team still get, like, even if you acquire a player halfway in the year, don't you still get compensation for losing that free agent? I think, Yerk. Shame on me. I should know the answer to that. But I'd honestly have to double-check or text Jesse real quick because Jesse will know. But Chris Bryant looks like the old Chris Bryant again. Without Eloy Jimenez in the lineup? I mean, like, could he play left?
Well, listen.
Very interesting.
I hope the White Sox do what's necessary for them to be able to solidify a strong chance to go ahead and win the World Series. Whatever that move may be. My most gratifying thing of the weekend watching the Kentucky Derby, can I tell you what it was?
Sure.
Watching that putz, Mattress Mac, okay? Watching that guy keep betting millions and millions of dollars on essential quality to win. And then watching it all go away. Okay?
Which one's Mattress Mac again? I feel like I've heard the stories about
it's
him.
It's the guy that was on the telecast putting $100,000 more or $200,000 more.
Where does he got all his money? He owns a mattress store, right?
No,
this guy was in the news for something.
He bet on Tampa.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Chuck's in.
So when he lost it all, I laughed. I lost $87.
Chuck's in Bellwood. That's guy. Chuck, what's up? You're on ESPN 1000.
What's up, Carl? What's up, York? How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
What's up, Chuck?
Good. Hey, good kid. With the Bears making the move with cutting Leno and putting Jenkins over on that left side, seemed like that right side is going to be open. I was wondering what your analysis is of that right tackle that they drafted in the fifth round. Seemed like he's just a big, thick body that would just absorb, I guess, the defensive lineman his way instead of attacking.
Yeah,
that's the kid from Missouri.
Right,
and remember, James Daniels is coming back off of injury, too.
He is. Chuck, thanks, man.
And those middle three were playing some decent football toward the end of last year.
So
I think, you know, you've got your left tackle situation. I think somebody's going to end up playing that right. All I'm looking for is a mauler on that side anyway. You know, your skilled guy plays the left tackle position. He's the guy that can kick back. He's got the good technique. Keeps the backside of your quarterback clean. That's what you're looking for out of that guy. You're looking for a little bit of a mauler. I don't think James Daniels can play out there.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I think somebody might be able to slip out there and play right tackle for you.
Charles Leno is being released. Charles Leno tweeted this: I will always be rooting for the young guys to succeed in the league. That was me years ago. This is part of the business. Thanks, Bears fans. That's a nice tweet from Charles Leno.
And listen, you're always out there being replaced, whether you like it or not. The minute you're in the NFL, they're always looking for your replacement, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Every year you'd come in and somebody's position was getting picked in the first round. Somebody's position was getting picked in the second round. It's the way it works.
More trivia coming up. Your chance to qualify for the MyJack trip with us to Indy on May 21st. We'll sneak in a few more calls. 312-332-ESPN. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. It's time now for the MyJack. Freaky Fast Trivia.
What you say?
The MyJack. Freaky Fast Trivia.
You ain't first, you're last. Don't talk about
for Fast Friday passes.
That phrase, trademark, not to use the other producer, Ricky Bobby.
What card did you go?
Yes, it is time for Freaky Fast Trivia. We are qualifying people to be our guest at Fast Friday. We're going to broadcast live from Indy Friday, May 21. MyJack's going to send you and a guest to Indy, giving you a gas card to get down there, one-night hotel stay Thursday night before the broadcast. You will be shuttled over to the track to the MyJack suite to join us at the Speedway for the broadcast. All the details at ESPNChicagoContest.com. We qualified people last week, doing it again all this week. There will be 10 qualifiers and 5 winners, so you got a pretty good chance of winning if you can qualify. Here is your second fast trivia question of the day. It's all about speed, Yurko. Two players are currently tied for the major league lead in stolen bases. Name just one of the two. You don't have to name them both. Name one of the two. Two players are currently tied for the major league lead in stolen bases. Name one of the two. One of these guys, I'll even give you a hint, because that's the kind of guy I am. One of these guys had probably the highlight catch of the weekend. So if you watch some baseball, one of these guys made, it was almost Bo Jackson-esque, like running up the wall. Remember when Bo, you know, like this guy made a catch over the weekend, Yurk. I'm telling you, one of these guys. So that's the question. Two players currently tied for the major league lead in stolen bases. Name one of the two. A couple other things real quick that we just wanted to try to finish up before. We're almost, and we're going to get to the phones in a minute. Merkin's screening them right now. And then we're going to get out of here. Greeny's coming up at noon. Waddle and Sylvie are back at 2. Black and Abdallah at 6 tonight. White Sox are in Cincinnati for a couple of games starting tomorrow. They're going to look at Castellanos. And we're going to be off the air early on Wednesday because we got an 11 o'clock pregame, FYI, on Wednesday. Cubs play the Dodgers tonight. I also saw that, you know, Phil Mickelson's got to qualify for the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines.
Yes, he does.
Because he's not in the top, 60? 60.
He's 113th on the golf rankings.
So he's actually got to go to qualify.
And if you win the U.S. Open, you've got a 10-year exemption.
Right.
Right. You don't have a lifetime exemption.
He never won
Masters
it anyway.
The Masters has a lifetime. Yeah, he's been second 6 times.
Yeah. Believe so that. You don't get an exemption for that.
Nope.
So he's going to look back and be like, God, Jeff Ogilvy.
I know. The one at Wingfoot's going to be the one that haunts him. But apparently, even if he doesn't qualify, they were saying they might give him like a special invitation.
He doesn't want it.
Yeah, he made it sound like he's not sure that he wants to do that.
I think they gave one to Ernie Els a couple of years ago, 2019. Maybe 2017.
And Ernie's won 2 U.S. Opens.
Yeah, but he doesn't want it, though. He goes, either I earn my way in or I don't get it. That's it.
Merck, who's up first here?
Noah and Mount Prospect.
Noah. All right. There he is. Noah, okay. Give it to me. Two players currently tied for the Major League lead in stolen bases. Name one of the two.
It's going to be Ramon Laureano.
There you go. He was the one who made the catch this weekend, too. That was a great catch, wasn't it? Nicely done, Noah. Sit tight. Make sure Merck's got all your info. Whit Merrifield, actually, the Royals, and Ramon Laureano each have 8. I believe Trey Turner has 7 to lead the National League. Yeah, Laureano made a great catch the other day. Let's say hi to... Oh, Philly Sid wants to give you a congrats, Yurk. Let's do it. Hey, Sid.
Let's do it.
Hey, Yurk. Congrats on the 20, man. I've been listening to you since I became a Chicago transplant. You know, I'm an East Coast guy. Didn't actually grow up in Philly. I'm from the D.C., Virginia area. But you guys are actually, the Mac Yurko Harry Show was the first one I started listening to when I got here. And I was jonesing to find a good sports talk radio show. And you guys are also the guys that gave me the nickname Philly Sid.
How about that?
See?
So congrats, Yurko. It's Thank been you. 20 great years. Let's keep it going.
Sid, thanks for listening.
Oh, the old afternoon saloon. Yeah. I saw Greenberg tweeted out the article that he wrote last year.
Yeah.
Then he had that iconic photo that we did at Gibson's in the at the bar.
Wasn't it the Chop House?
Chop House. Yeah. Thank you. You're so sweet. Thank you for remembering that. At the Chop House down in the basement there.
Yes.
And that's a great photo.
Great photo.
I mean, in Chicago sports radio history, that photo needs to be up there.
It is
great. And that's all you need to see. I mean, it said Afternoon Saloon. You didn't need it. And then when Carmen took over, and he was like, boy, I don't think we could be called the Afternoon Saloon.
Yeah. They tried it for a little. Yeah, like, okay, we got to get rid of that, guys. That's
well, because
that was that show. It was.
Thank you. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, let's get rid of it. I mean, okay, no problem.
I mean, it couldn't work anymore.
It wasn't working.
It was too much associated with what you guys had done.
Right, with Mac Yurko, with MJH.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was. Like, yes. That, you know, and so.
You just couldn't take the name. Change the guy that's pouring the drafts and call it the same thing.
It's like if Ringo left the Beatles and said, I'm going to go start the Beatles. No,
that doesn't work.
It doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work.
The Beatles are the Beatles. That's
it worked out perfectly. Kid.
Let's say hi real quick to Eddie on the north side. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
This might be a stupid question, but why don't these teams that drafted before the Bears, if Fields and this guy from New England were so good, just draft the guy? And then you have, like, this big bullet that you could trade and make a lot of value on, just like getting concert tickets from back, and you just get as much as you could, and then later on you sell them for $500-$600 a pop. And what happened to his medical condition? All of a sudden I don't even hear about it anymore.
Apparently the Bears are very well aware, and they're not concerned. The epilepsy, that was addressed, they know, they're aware.
We know it, have it. If
they feel
comfortable. An episode, we'll be able to handle it.
I'm telling you, read the Albert Breer article, and he's going to be on with the guys tomorrow because he always is with Cap and Hoodie, 8 o'clock every Tuesday here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. The article's really good, and it sounds like Ryan Pace learned, I think, a valuable lesson, okay, 4 years ago with that misstep and going rogue and nobody else really outside of who? Maybe was Josh Lucas in the organization then? Maybe. Like, really nobody knew what he was thinking, what he was planning. He fell in love with Trubisky, kept it quiet. This process was different. You can tell. Read the article. You can tell how much Nagy was involved, how much he borrowed from his experience with Andy Reid and what the Chiefs did before they drafted Mahomes. It's encouraging. And none of us know if it's a home run. We don't know that yet. We're all excited. We don't know. But it is encouraging to read about the process this time. It is the 180 opposite. And hopefully they finally get it right. Now just develop him. Develop him. Develop him. Your congrats on 20. We got to celebrate like all week. I'm buying lunch one day. I mean, come on.
Oh, I'm ready, guys.
We got it.
Whatever you need. We're playing golf on Wednesday.
We're playing golf a little bit Wednesday.
Slapped a little white ball around.
Yeah. Might have been my first round.
It's going to be cold.
I haven't swung a club.
Yeah. Cold. Well, you put a jacket on. I mean, I got slacks.
I don't play if it's below.
Like Newman. You don't go out in the rain. Stop it. Well, you're not playing.
I'm not a mailman, though.
It's a good thing you're not playing.
He wanted to quit the game anyway this morning.
I know. I'll tell that story tomorrow.
Quit the game.
These guys are going to quit. Thank you to all of our listeners who called and contributed and participated today. And everybody's excited about the Bears. And Waddle and Sylvie are back with you, too. Great job by J.R. Strauss and by Randy Merkin. We'll see you tomorrow. And Rod in Lockport has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Hey, I just want to congratulate Yurko on his 20-year career at WMVP.
20.
I appreciate it, Rod. Thank you. 20 years ago today, the Afternoon Saloon.
That's right.
Hit the ground running.
The radio hasn't been the same since.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.